All right, on this episode of the Autumn Windbags, we do the math so you don't have to on exactly what Deshaun Watson could potentially be worth to the Raiders. We discuss what Rich Gannon thought of our defense, and John Gruden's silver tongue might actually get us Richard Sherman. This episode is brought to you by our friends at Nirvana CBD at nirvanacbd.com. Use promo code AW20 for 20% off Nirvana CBD. Find your state of natural relaxation. And we absolutely love that you subscribe, rate, and comment on whatever platform you're listening on. Please continue to do so. All right, here we go.
I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares. The Raiders!
Caught! Touchdown!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto. Yeah, baby, another episode of the Autumn Windbags. I'm RJ Clifford, he's Juan Soto.
Boom, boom.
Before we get anywhere, you're alive. COVID didn't kill you. Did you kill COVID in a death match of COVID versus Soto? Did Soto actually come out on top?
In a match to the death, COVID is no longer active in my body.
Look at you, just bending it over and smacking it.
Well done. Yeah,
I see. Made it defense. My bitch. Your immune system played better defense than the Raiders.
I won. You know, shocking. So good to go. Who would have thought?
Yeah, I'm sure you'll still complain about it, but I'm glad that you're feeling better. That's great.
I am feeling better. Yeah.
So the whole thing, like all football talk, like we're the week of the Super Bowl. This is the last Autumn Windbags we're gonna do where there's actually a football game. This weekend, obviously Super Bowl on Sunday, but the big news in the NFL is not the Buccaneers versus the Chiefs. It's the quarterback carousel that's going around, and it all started with Matthew Stafford of the Lions getting traded for Jared Goff of the Rams. The Lions sent Stafford to the Rams in exchange for the Rams sending over a first round pick in 2022, a first round pick in 2023, and a third round pick in 2021. And they get Jared Goff. But more than getting Jared Goff, the bigger piece of this puzzle is they get Jared Goff's terrible contract where they owe him a ton of money the next two seasons. And I think that's, and so when like you start figuring out the quarterback market, like what's Deshaun Watson worth? And we'll get to like Derek Carr trade rumors in the future, later on the show. It's like, well, like the Lions didn't really get two first round picks and a third for Stafford. They gave up those picks because they're taking on Jared Goff's bloated contract.
Yeah. Those picks are going to offset the money they're not going to have to get free agents. Mm-hmm. So they're going to, I mean, the Lions, they're not a good team. Okay. They weren't a good team with Stafford, and it's in spite of Stafford, his QBR was, he should have won 70% of his games. According to the QBR, he played that well, but he ended up winning 35% of his games last year or something like that.
Yeah.
And Goff was the opposite. The way his QBR rating was, he shouldn't have won as many games as his QBR said it he should have.
Yeah.
So that's what they're getting, and they're getting a huge contract, and that means I can't fill holes with proven players. I have to hope I hit in the draft.
So with that foundation, everyone starts talking about, all right, Deshaun Watson unhappy in Houston, demanding a trade. Is he going to go? If so, where's he going to go? And if he does go, what it's going to cost. So we'll talk about the Raiders specifically, but like a lot of things have to happen for Deshaun Watson to go. Like, yeah, he demanded a trade, but is it a bluff? Like his only leverage is that he sits out. Is he willing to sacrifice game checks to stand up, to prove that he's really serious about leaving? I don't know. I mean, that's the first domino that falls before these like 17 other dominoes that fall for Deshaun Watson potentially playing for Las Vegas or any other team.
Mm-hmm. Well, the main thing is we're not privy to this information, the whole vaccine stuff. Mm-hmm. People can say all they want to the media, hey, I want to trade. But if you tell your team, look, guys, start getting these wheels in motion because I'm not going to play for you. I think we know why Deshaun Watson doesn't want to play there. I think partially it's football related. I think it's partially because they're just not a good team. They're giving away a lot of their players for picks. Who knows how those picks are going to work out? You know, he got his best defensive players getting older. I mean, he doesn't have a ton of weapons. The weapons he does have, they don't stay healthy. I mean,
and even as bad as that is, I think, and that's also a symptom of a bigger problem, is just like ownership and management just, he just feels disrespected by him.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's the main thing for me. That's what I think is the main thing for him, because I've read grumblings here and there. They're not the most socially conscious team out there. They're not maybe the most socially conscious.
Whoa. Hey, the Texas team?
What?
This is my shock face.
Look, even for a Texas team, they are not maybe the most socially conscious out there. And Deshaun Watson has been in the forefront of social conscious issues. And I think that maybe the lack of support on that end is playing a bigger role, because you get to look at that whole debacle when it comes to the GM, right? Mm-hmm. The Houston paid big money for this firm to vet and give them names. These are the guys that you should bring in for your GM. These are the, and here's the ranking. They ended up picking a guy that was not even in the rankings. There was three people, three candidates that were offered. Hey, we did all the work for you that you paid us for. This is what we should, these are the three guys you should interview for your GM job. The owner's like, meh, I'm going to hire my buddy. I'm going to hire this guy. And it's not a guy that they paid for. If he was another, you know, white dude, you know what I'm saying? Like another retread. And
damn white people.
And they're the only team that had a head coaching vacancy that did not even interview Eric Bieniemy. Mm-hmm. And I think you put all those pieces in a row.
It's a real slap together in the face. We don't even pretend to hire.
Yeah, you don't even pretend.
You have to at least pretend on, you're going to hire him. Otherwise, it just looks bad.
But that thing is that you give away your best player basically on your team. You give away for Hopkins. not a lot. You didn't get Tom back for the player that he is. And it just all adds up, man. It all adds up. And I really don't think.
Interrupting.
Woo! Classing up the joint. So for those of you that are listening and not watching.
Yeah.
RJ's
my dinner brought to me.
RJ's better half. There she is. Prom queen is here.
She doesn't have her makeup on. Don't look.
That's when you say she doesn't need makeup, everybody.
Yeah, she doesn't need it.
She's about to kill you.
Well, look, so he's clearly unhappy with where he's at, and he wants out of there. But again, I'm still not convinced. And we're going to get to where Deshaun Watson fits with like potentially the Raiders' plans, or if he goes somewhere, et cetera. And I think this also is a good opportunity to like kind of reevaluate what Derek Carr's value is on the open market. When you look at like how bad of a screw up it would take for the Texans to lose Deshaun Watson, like Deshaun Watson, like that's a quarterback that you hope you get every couple decades.
Yeah, for sure.
Like
he's legit, one of the top handful of quarterbacks in the league.
Right now. Legit top five quarterback. What is he? 25.
25. He's a good kid, man.
25 years old.
He's a good kid. He does. You never get any problems about this guy. He's on the forefront of social issues. On the forefront, he's big in the union. Like this guy is a cornerstone piece of your franchise for years to come. Oh, and he just happens to be the passing leader in the NFL the last couple of years.
So for the Texans to actually lose him, like let's just stop and just realize what a monumental fuck up that is. Like how bad is it that you lose the face of your franchise, the best player on your team, when the best player is the most important position in all of sports.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And you've got him wrapped up in a 5-year contract, an expensive one, but one very worth what he's delivering.
Of course.
And you lose him?
They've already lost him for all intents and purposes. He doesn't want to be there. So the fuck-ups have already happened. So what you're going to do right now is if as the Texans, if I trade him before the season starts, That is my best case scenario if I believe he doesn't really doesn't want to be there. Because
we know he doesn't want to be there. The question is he willing to start giving up game checks to sit out games to prove he's not there? Because it's one thing to say something, it's a thousand times more to do something, and it's a thousand times more than that to prove it with your wallet. And that's what he would have to do.
So let's say, for example, let me rephrase that. Once they find out for sure that he's willing to lose money, not only game checks, but being fined on top of that. Mm-hmm. Once they find out for sure that he's not going to freaking play ball, his trade value goes down because they're pushed into a corner and the other teams know it. And they're like, dude, this guy's not going to fucking play for us. We're going to have to get what we're going to get. Now, one of the things as far as Carr goes, Carr played for like a top 10 quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. Very manageable, very reasonable contract. How he's playing
for a starting franchise quarterback. It's an unbelievable contract.
It's a great contract.
And all the guarantees are already done.
Yeah. So if he comes in and he does well, okay, maybe we might extend him a year or two or whatever. Maybe throw some guaranteed money in just because he's a quarterback or whatever. But if you're like, if you're a Colts, right? If you're an Indy Colts team. Mm-hmm. Who just lost a very Carr-esque type quarterback. Hey, he's not the most mobile guy. Carr's more mobile than Rivers ever was, but he's a pocket passer.
Mount Rushmore is more mobile than Rivers.
Oh, Jesus. Me laying in bed dying with COVID was more mobile than Philip Rivers.
You could at least roll over to pee out of your bed. I don't know if Rivers could do that.
Yeah. But that's a good fit in my eyes. They just had a veteran quarterback who could run a team, who has the respect of the locker room, who can throw from the pocket, who makes decisions, pretty good decisions most of the time. Okay, that's a good spot. Would you give up two ones?
Carr, let's assume for a minute that Deshaun Watson is going to be traded. Let's say ownership in Houston's like, all right, we don't want to fight with him anymore. We give up, white flag, you win. All right, you get to go. It's important to remember that he has a no trade clause in his contract. So he has to approve any trade of where he goes, right? Mm-hmm. So, the idea of him going to like the Jets.
He ain't going there.
I don't, he's going to nix that. Nope. There's a couple other places. But let's say the one biggest possible step, Deshaun Watson is going to be traded, happens. Where does he go and what does it cost? So, would the Raiders make a move here? I don't know if you saw Colin Cowherd threw out a possibility. He said, hey, this is what the Raiders should do. To get Deshaun Watson, they should trade Derek Carr, Darren Waller, and four first-round draft picks.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
LOL in my car as I was listening to that. But I think that kind of goes to show not so much the general idea, but like, the tone of how much people believe in Deshaun Watson and also how undervalued Derek Carr is. I mean, yeah, he has, Darren Waller, who's phenomenal, right? Top three tight end in the league. But after that, you're talking like Henry Ruggs and Hunter Renfrow as his best targets. You're talking about an offensive line that on paper should have been phenomenal and still played pretty good in pass protection, but was devastated by injuries. I mean, the five starters played together for a total of three plays. Yeah. Starting guard, played two games. Starting most expensive tackle in football, played a handful of games.
Yeah.
So, and Carr still had one of the best seasons of his career. Phenomenal year.
The thing is, there's a reason why people are not scoffing at three, four first-round picks for Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. The most important position in all of sports is your starting quarterback. 100%. There's no even close. I give the Rams a ton of fucking credit. The second they knew in their hearts that Goff wasn't going to be the guy for them, they've shipped him. They gave up a lot to ship him, but they got rid of that contract. They got an upgrade in quarterback and they did it.
The Rams just love giving away first round picks.
You know what? Here's the deal, man. Candy. Okay, would you give up right now? Would you give up Ruggs, Arnett, Farrell, and Jacobs for Deshaun Watson.
Absolutely. And
Carr. Exactly. Those are the last four first-round fucking picks.
Yeah.
I don't see the problem here. I don't see the problem.
Well, this is the problem. I think it highlights how bad the Raiders have been drafting the last couple seasons.
That's why I don't care about their first-round picks.
But this is my giant but about it. To me, it proves the exact opposite, because the Raiders are going to whiff on their first rounders and on their draft picks so much that we can't afford to let any go, because we're only going to get like one out of every three of them right. So if we start shipping everything away, we're going to be left with, you know, three or four decent picks that we're probably going to whiff on most of them anyway. And this is the other problem. This is the difference. The Rams are great in free agency. When they shift away, you know, they get Jalen Ramsey, or they get, you know, Matthew Stafford. Like, when they trade picks away, they're getting guys that deliver for them.
Our so you free don't think agency, Watson won't deliver?
Well, look at the record, right? As bad as the Raiders have been at drafting, they're worse in free agency. Carl Nassib, like Terrell Williams, Trent Brown, like the guys that we're picking up and paying tons of money to, don't deliver. Either they're hurt the whole time, or they play worse with the Raiders than they played anywhere else. So, like, if the Raiders were great at free agency and terrible at drafting, great. Okay. We know what we're good at. Let's trade those picks away so we can start picking up guys in free agency. Or if we're terrible in free agency and great at draft picks, okay, let's pick up draft picks. Let's start trading guys away for draft. Well, we're terrible at both.
Well, here's the issue here. You're getting a proven commodity, a proven top flight elite player at his position. Proven. 100%. Trent Brown, God bless him, he's over fucking paid. Okay? No right tackle deserves that kind of money. They gave it to him.
He was overpaid, but he was a proven commodity, would you say?
He wasn't a quarterback of the team. He's not even the most important position player on the offensive line. Okay? Yeah. So
third behind center and left tackle.
Yeah, center and left tackle, exactly. And he's not even the best player on the line. So I don't see an issue with this trade. I say, if you want to give
which trade, which trade exactly?
If you want to do, okay. If in the perfect scenario you find, let's just say, for example, ship Carr to the Colts, get two ones back. Okay. Put those two ones and then two of your ones or a one, a two and a three, however you want to work it. Ship those to get Watson. The winner of the trade is the team that got the best player. And unless one of those picks turns out to be a top flight elite quarterback, the Raiders are going to win that trade. I just mentioned their last four first round picks. You wouldn't trade those four first round picks for Watson. Yeah, of course you would. I would too. So, You got to look at these needle movers, man. These needle movers at quarterback, which is the most important position on your team, they don't come around very often. And if you can find a way, I don't hate Derek Carr. I think that he has his limitations. I don't hate him. He has his limitations. I don't think he's an elite player. I don't think he'll ever be an elite player. I don't think he'll be that needle mover at quarterback that you need. I think you're going to need to have a top 7-5 defense with him in order to win a Super Bowl. That's what I think. I don't think he's going to be that top flight elite quarterback.
Well, Deshaun Watson was 4-12 last season with a defense that was better than the Raiders. and that's my point, right? Like, is Deshaun Watson better than Derek Carr? Yes, absolutely. Is he worth an investment? Yes, absolutely. But the Raiders don't lose because of their offense. They lose because of their defense. And if we're trading away all our draft capital and committing so much more to the cap space back to the offense, back to quarterback, which is probably our third best position that we have. Like, which position group is on the Raiders is better than quarterback?
So the third best position that the Raiders have, but by far the most important position on your team. Mm-hmm. And just like the Rams, if you feel in your gut, this guy is not the guy we can strap everything on his back and him take us to a Super Bowl, you got to cut now. You got to do with what the Rams did and cut bait and move on. That's what I commend them for.
But the Rams were in the Super Bowl two seasons ago and have a defense that can carry them to the Super Bowl. So they're like, all right, let's sacrifice draft picks, let's sacrifice capital, and let's get a quarterback that can do what Sean McVay wants to do. That's not the Raiders. The only thing we have going for us is tight end and quarterback.
Man. You got to start somewhere.
Defense.
And you upgrade. Okay, then draft defense. And you don't even touch the offense anymore. Look, you and I talked about the free agents or the possible cuts that the Raiders have to make. Mm-hmm. I would say cut them all and try to restructure some of them on the way back. Mariota, cut. Brown, cut. Incognito, cut. Williams, cut. Cut all those motherfuckers because they don't have any guaranteed money. You will be really low on the books. Cut those motherfuckers. And if you can bring them back at a lower price, you can. If you cannot, happy trails, because neither one of those guys played an integral role in our season this year. Mm-hmm. So you can go without them. You've already shown that you could go without Incognito. You've already shown you can go without Brown. You've already shown that you can go without Mariota. You've already shown that you can go without Williams. You don't need these guys. You don't need them. Cut them. Move along. Joiner, later. Bye. You've already seen that he's a liability at times on defense. Mm-hmm. How is he going to play with a better defensive coordinator and a better scheme more suited to maybe his skill set? Who knows? But right now, you've seen he's not a cornerstone piece that Mayock was looking for, that Mayock was talking about. Now, when you grab those cornerstone pieces, it makes everyone else around you better because of what Mayock even said himself. You have to game plan around that specific player, which takes attention away from others and uplifts others. Different sport, but one of the worst professional basketball players I have ever seen play is Mark Madsen for the Lakers. He was not a good basketball player.
But he was so good at dancing.
He was exactly. He hustled. He played defense, but he wasn't an elite defender. He rebounded, but he wasn't an elite rebound. He was just one of those guys. He was a space eater. He had activity. But guess what? When he went out there, he wasn't asked to do anything other than just hustle, mm-hmm. right? Because he had all these stars around him, right? That's the same thing that's going to happen. You need to get those stars. And when you can find a star, I'm sorry, Derek Carr is a very good player. He is not a star quarterback. He's just not that. When you have the chance to get that, that makes everyone else around you better.
I just wonder what is Deshaun Watson worth to the Raiders? What's the most you would give up for him?
I would say Carr. Whatever Carr brings you, and two ones.
Do you think that's enough?
I think four ones would get him from the Texans. I think four ones would get him from the Texans.
Or Carr and two ones.
No, I don't think they want Carr. They might want Carr. They might want him. If that works out, they don't need a third team or whatever. Because mm-hmm. I honestly think the Colts are going to be better than the Raiders. So I would probably want their picks instead of just Carr or – Car and you know, I don't want more picks, right? Mm-hmm. You never know. Maybe they like Car that much where you flip Car and a couple of ones. I would definitely do that. I would definitely do that for the simple fact is you need those needle movers. And if you have to go out and pay for those needle movers, and that means the Carl Nassibs and the Trent Browns and all these guys, first off, what the fuck are we doing spending all that money on our offensive line when we already have a good offensive line? We just need someone serviceable at right tackle. We don't need an elite top end. I mean, it's great to have, but you're spending the money for it. I'd rather spend that money somewhere else. Carl Nassib, I talked about him. He's more of a motor energy guy. He's not that twitchy, quick, beat you off with the first step kind of freaking defensive end that we need. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need. We need, I'm just going to say it again, and people probably get tired of it. We need players. We need players. And Nassib is not a player. He's not one of those guys that's going to be able to. I want to say one thing real quick. Max Crosby, I am fucking sorry that I, if anything I ever said came across as any type of disrespect, because when you play with a torn labrum and a broken plate in your already broken hand,
you still have the team in sacks
and you still do as well as you did. Dude, I strained my labrum once and I couldn't jerk off for 2 weeks.
Oh God, you are so pissed.
I was so upset. I tried to go left. You just couldn't do it. The little cross jerk couldn't make it work.
Not a fan of the stranger.
I can't do it. And so
you're a one hand man.
I'm loyal to my right hand.
It's good. Loyalty is important. People forget about these days.
People, you know what? It's you gotta have a ride or die. Mm-hmm. So Max Crosby, can he be that player? I think he can. Can Clelin Ferrell be that player? I mean, he played really good against the Jets. The Jets don't have a terrible offensive line. They actually have a pretty decent one. And he you know, he played pretty well when he was healthy. Look, I'm going through COVID right now. And even though I'm technically COVID free, I don't have it anymore.
You're still trying to get as much sympathy as possible out of it. I get it. Jesus, I understand.
Christ. Yeah. No, I still feel the effects of it. I still have the headaches. I still have the body aches. I still have the fatigue.
The bitching and the moaning.
All the
common symptoms. Yeah.
The flaming red vagina.
Yeah.
I have all that stuff.
It's all on WebMD. I read it all. Yeah.
So if Farrell had anything near what I had afterwards, dude, it's tough, man. It's tough. So I'm not going to say he is or he isn't, but we need players. Can Littleton be a player in a different scheme? He's shown that he could be. He's shown that he could be with a different team. Now, granted, he had a lot better defensive linemen picking up double teams all the time, making it a little bit easier for him to make plays. So let's just start there, number one. But Kwiatkowski, that dude's a fucking player. I think he's a player, right? Morrow showed that he can make plays. He's super fucking fast. He improved in pass defense. We need that secondary. We need that secondary. So if you're taking a look at it from that perspective, we need an impact defensive tackle. I think what we have at defensive end is a wait and see. Linebackers were okay. Maybe we can add one here and there, but the secondaries we need to really focus our talents on. So when you look at it from that perspective, you don't need that much because you have players on your team who have shown they've made plays.
So when I think of Derek Carr and his value, it's also a unique situation in that Derek Carr is more valuable for the Raiders than he is to most any other team because he's with a very complicated quarterback coach in John Gruden, right? Like Gruden's got a complicated system and it takes quarterbacks sometimes a while to get a hang of it. Most quarterbacks can't get a hang of it. Like how many successful quarterbacks has John Gruden had?
Yeah.
Rich Gannon and Derek Carr, right?
Pretty much.
And then like 20 years of either no good quarterbacks or being in television in between. Mm-hmm. So again, would Deshaun Watson probably be good on the Raiders under John Gruden? Yeah, probably.
Nothing I've ever heard about him is that he can't handle an offense. He does have the mobility that Gruden does covet. He does covet. One thing we don't talk about Gannon a lot is Gannon was a mobile quarterback.
Yeah.
He was able to run. He was able to run and he was able to move. And honestly, when you look at Gruden's offense, it's throw the ball here. Here are your reads. If you don't see it, take off. That's his offense. And that's what he talked about before this last season about wanting Carr to move and run more. Carr, he's a liability on the run, bro. I'm sorry. Mm. This fucking guy, when he tries to tuck the ball and run, he fumbles the fucking ball.
Small hands.
God damn it. Small hands, smells like cabbage. Just Jesus Christ, man. Deshaun Watson is going to be able, even if he doesn't pick up the little intricacies right away, he has that ability to move. He has that ability to make plays on the run. And he didn't have nearly the offensive line that he has at the Raiders.
So the only thing that makes me think that this would happen is if Derek Carr wants out of Las Vegas. Because I think that's one part that not a lot of people are thinking about. Like think of Derek Carr. Doesn't complain, plays hard. He's gotten better every single season under John Gruden, despite his number one receiver every season falling away, like either Antonio Brown or Williams, like his number one receiver is always gone. And he's got a bunch of rookies, or he had to revitalize the career of Nelson Aguilar, right? Clearly he's got Darren Waller, which is amazing.
Yeah, but he also has the best one of the, like arguably the best tight end in the fucking game.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's got Darren Waller, but really nothing else, right? Like the running game regressed this season. The line regressed this season. The rookie quarterback's totally underdelivered, and obviously the defense was one of the worst in the league. And yeah, didn't complain.
I get
kept
it. Playing,
kept going. Like if and I'm that's Derek why Carr,
he's gonna be a good bargaining chip.
If I'm Derek Carr, I'm asking for a trade. I'm saying, cool. Screw y'all. This is cool. I'm over this.
Cool. Go. That's a good bargaining chip. Hey man, you're not gonna have any problems with this guy. He's gonna put his head down. He's gonna be a face of your franchise. He's gonna be able to work. He just didn't work for us. Maybe,
but he did work for us. He is working for us.
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. But he's not an elite quarterback. And unless you have an elite quarterback, you better have an elite defensive squad or you're not winning shit. It's just the way it is. You need to have elite one or the other or both. Look at the fucking Bucks. The Bucks have Brady and a something number fucking 5-7 defense around there. Yeah. Like, they have both. So, I mean, and they still might lose.
And legit receivers, like they got a lot going for them. So
they
like,
got a lot, man.
We're not one quarterback away from contending.
But that's the most important spot that you have. And if you could upgrade at that position, that makes everything else better for you on the offense. If you
but at the sacrifice of what? Deshaun Watson was 4-12 last season. He was 4-12 with a better defense. Yeah, the season fell apart. They fired their coach. Like, there were a lot of other problems. They traded away their best wide receiver. There's a lot of problems in Houston, no doubt about it. But everyone's like, well, you know, if we just had a better quarterback, we'd have made the playoffs. The better quarterback had half the wins with a better defense. Like,
okay, and
it was just a one swap, right? Deshaun for Derek Carr. Okay, yes, here we go. But sacrificing like a Darren Waller or a bunch of draft picks when we have massive
Waller's not going to happen. Waller's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen.
But that's my point. Is, with how bad the Raiders are in free agency and drafting, when you've got a player on your team that's playing really good, really good at the position, he's like, oh, he's in there. He's one of our best players. He's a good locker room guy. He delivers on the field. We've got a good contract with him. You hold on to him with a vice grip that Randy Macho Man Savage would be jealous of. Because the Raiders just don't get guys that are good. They don't draft well, and they don't get guys in free agency well. Okay, so if you have somebody good, a Darren Waller, a Rodney Hudson, a Derek Carr, you hang on to them because God only knows who we're going to bring in.
You're going to bring in Deshaun Watson.
Who knows if that'll pan out or not?
Like, well, here's the thing.
How do you think, like, did anyone guess Corey Littleton wouldn't work out? People guess Trent Brown wouldn't work out?
All right. So let's just take a look at it from this perspective. The Raiders are not good at getting defensive free agents. Now, or is
offensive.
That. Whoa. Rodney Hudson was a free agent. Darren Waller was a free agent. Richie Incognito last year worked out fine, but he got hurt.
Those were a lot of hurt. Richie and Waller were scrap heap dudes that you rolled the dice with like nothing to risk and they panned out. That's different than going out there with big money and saying, we want this guy. That's big different than committing resources and saying, we know this guy will deliver, so we're going to pay him.
Look, it's all encompassed in the same thing. Just like you don't like to like, well, you know, you can't look at the good things with Carr and then ignore the bad, or look at the bad and ignore the good. The same thing is they went out and they signed Nelson Aguilar. Right, for a very, very good deal. Yeah. Scrap heap guy, played great. They gave Rodney Hudson big money, worth every fucking dime. Mm-hmm. Okay, Incognito got him off of a year. I think it was a year of
suspension.
He retired for a year, I think. He came back last year, not 2020, but 2019. Played off his ass. Yep. Okay. Comes in this year, he gets hurt. It happens, man. What the fuck? He didn't have a fucking regular training camp. I thought that we were going to lose more big guys to the injuries like that. Trent Brown, same thing. When he played the last year, man, he was good. He was pretty damn fucking good. Now, the defensive guys, look at it from this perspective. Is it because they're bad defensive signings, or is it because Gunther was so bad, he just didn't get anything out of his guys? Because
I pray to God it's Gunther. Like, we are all praying to whatever God we believe in that it was.
But the thing is, you can't have these guys. I refuse to believe that these players who make plays, who are playmakers at other places, come here and are shit because it's just they put on a Raider jersey and they become shit. It's got to be the fact that Gunther wasn't doing what he needed to do with these guys. He was one of those guys that's like, you know what? This is my system. This is what you're going to run. And that's it. I'm not coaching to my players. I'm coaching to my system, which we all
you
agree.
You adjust to me. I don't adjust
terrible.
To you.
Exactly. Which is all we all agree is terrible. We've heard stories about him too, about his game planning, about his coaching, about his teaching and all that shit. Let's just say, for example, that is not a problem anymore. And you have a Corey Littleton with the Rams, and you have of Cleveland Farrell and you have a Max Crosby that are causing havoc on the edges. You have high first, second round draft picks in the secondary who start to gel. You don't need that much more. And that's what you're banking on. You have to bank on the decisions that you're making to move forward. You can't always have the sure thing. A sure thing that you are getting is you are getting a better quarterback in Deshaun Watson with less talent around him on offense, had better numbers. So you are getting a better quarterback. Let's just push that to the side. So if you're going to do that, make sure the moves that you're making are upgrading when you make those moves. So I say go for it, man.
So this is, of course, all predicated on the fact that Deshaun Watson is getting traded, which isn't a guarantee. Also predicated on the fact that the Raiders are interested in Deshaun Watson and committing to him, which we're not sure if they are or not. But this all comes from one specific article from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, and I'm sure you saw it. And
oh yeah,
and this is what's fed every other article out there, like Pro Football Focus and CBS, and like every single NBC. Other.
They're all linked to this.
They're all linked to this one article, and that's where all this crazy rumor and speculation has gone. Right? It's not even rumors and hearsay. It's pure speculation in that article. The Las Vegas Review Journal article, it says, insiders say that the Raiders are fielding offers for Derek Carr. Yeah, no shit. Every single offseason, every single GM is calling everywhere to see what's going on. Like, if you're Mike Mayock and someone calls you from the Ravens or the Jets or the Colts or the Dolphins, say, hey, who do you got? You know, what do you want for Carr? Or I have an offer for you for Carr. Like, you're not going to just hang up. You're not going to look at the caller ID and just be like, oh, the GM from the Dolphins? Nope, I'm busy. I'm not going to talk to him. And so everything else in that article was pure speculation. Well, that leads to maybe the Carr could be traded, or maybe Deshaun Watson could come over, or maybe this could be part of a three-way trade where we get some picks for Derek Carr and we send some of our picks with those picks over to the Texans. And so this whole conversation that we had, a very good conversation, and hey, it's the NFL, anything can happen. It's all been predicated on one article where I'm convinced the writer got a call from the Raiders, and they're like, hey, we need to drum up some trade interest for Derek Carr. Will you post this article for us? Yeah, sure, fuck it, why not? So this is all like, this is a lot to do where...
Or they're actually actively shopping him, not just looking.
Maybe.
You never Maybe. Know.
But that's my point, guys. Is we don't know. Like it's not even rumor and hearsay. It is pure speculation. It could pan out. But it's
Gruden does not like young players. He especially detests young quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. He doesn't like them. He doesn't like rookie quarterbacks. He doesn't like rookies at all. He doesn't. I bet you if he had a choice between two sisters, he'd pick the older one just because she's been sucking dick longer. That's just how he is.
Experience plays a lot.
Yeah, she got the little pepper grinder going. You got to watch out for that one. But dude, he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it if he already didn't have another one in mind. Mm. Who is that? Deshaun Watson is really the only one out there who has the experience. He's known. He's been proven in the league, proven to make plays. And for all we know, he's technically somewhat available, I guess you could say, because he wants out. I mean, who knows? Who knows what the fuck's going on here? That's the beauty of the offseason, baby. I mean, it's our offseason already. But who knows, man?
So there has to be like, okay, let's go through all of the steps that's going to be required to get Deshaun Watson to the Raiders, right?
All right.
One, the Texans are going to have to blink, give in to Deshaun Watson, and give him the trade that he wants, right? Okay. And that's the biggest step. I'm not at all convinced that that's going to happen. But let's say it does.
I agree with you because that would be the Texans giving away the best player in the trade.
So that's tough. So that has to happen. Two, the Raiders are going to have to want him. Three,
I think that's probably, okay.
Right? Three, they're going to have to put together the draft capital and or players and be willing to sacrifice them for Deshaun Watson, whether that's, you know, Carr to the Colts for picks, and then you tie those picks in for Houston, or you do directly Carr and three first rounders over to Houston, or if Colin Cowherd had his way, you give him Derek Carr, Darren Waller, four first round picks, Soto's kidney, and all of Allegiant Stadium for Deshaun Watson.
Look, Colin Cowherd left ESPN for fucking Fox, and no one ever heard from him again. Okay, so let's fucking
leave Cowherd alone. He's good. Except for his get out of here. Comments.
Yeah, he's come on, man. So his judgment is suspect, number one. That's way too much for anyone. So I wouldn't give that up for fucking your boy fucking Kermit the Frog over in KC.
Well, let's say that the Raiders are able to wrangle up something that the Texans do want, right?
Okay.
Whether it's Carr and picks or whatever it may be, right? So like we've gone through like seven things to get to this point.
Well, three.
The very last point, I think, is one of the hardest ones. Would Deshaun Watson want to come to the Raiders? Because he's got a no trade clause. He gets to decide where he goes.
I don't see a problem with him wanting to come to the Raiders.
So he's leaving Texas, the Houston, Texas, because why? Because management has been a mess. It's a pretty screwed up franchise in Las Vegas, Soto. Like, I love my Raiders and I bleed silver and black.
I get it, man. But
it's been 20 years of bad ineptitude.
One of the big things that you have to take a look at is, I think the biggest issue that the Texans have is never been an issue with the Raiders. They're always been in the forefront, hiring minority coaches, hiring minority people in the
I think you're overplaying that as a priority for Deshaun Watson. I mean, that's a great line. Like, if I'm Deshaun Watson, you're like, oh, well, like, the organization I work for isn't woke enough. Like, that scores you points, but you care more about winning and money. You know what I'm saying?
The money's going to be the same no matter what. They got banks in Houston, so... That's true.
Well, but you care about winning in respect.
Hey, without Deshaun Watson, they won eight games. Mm-hmm. With an upgrade at quarterback, with the same team, supposedly, hopefully, a better defense. Come on, man!
But he's coming to a team with the number one receiver is Ruggs, and the best receiver is Renfro. An offensive line that's fallen apart.
Who are the receivers in Houston?
That's what I'm saying, and that's why he's leaving. Is because
he's got better receivers. Just Darren Waller by himself. And you add Renfro in there because he's reliable as well.
But you're going to a worse defense, slightly better offensive weapons, but not great, and another franchise that's doesn't have a sterling reputation.
Look, you also have a head coach that you know is going to be there for seven more years if he wants to be.
Okay. If you like Jon Gruden, that's good.
If Gruden can sell him, because Gruden would – I don't know if you remember when Watson was coming out of Clemson, Gruden was super high on him. And they spent
Gruden's high on every quarterback. He was high on AJ McCarron. He was high on everybody. Come on.
All right, fine. Okay. So you know what? Let's just shoot that down then. If Gruden can sell Watson, this is the number two.
Wasn't he higher on Nathan Peterman than he was on Deshaun Watson?
No. Higher on Nathan Peterman.
He loved Peterman.
How about that, bro?
Dude, he loved Peterman. I gotta find that clip.
But for him to say, look, Gruden says a lot of things, okay? Yeah. He says a lot of things. You're telling me he would want Nathan Peterman on his team, which he can have, instead of Deshaun Watson.
I'm saying on coming out of college.
Oh, get the fuck out of here. Okay, fine. If you want to say that. What I'm saying is from the here and now, the biggest obstacle for this to get done is the Texans to blink and say, okay, we got to trade him. The second one is, does Deshaun Watson? Because the thing is if he doesn't want to come to the Raiders, they'll trade him somewhere else. So that the number two thing, but behind the Texans saying, okay, we got to get rid of Watson and get what we can for him, or get a good package for him, is Gruden getting on the horn and talking to Deshaun Watson and selling him and making him believe in his vision going forward. Look,
ooh, tampering. We're getting to Gruden tampering here in a second.
I'm good with it. Tamper it. It fucking happened. You think it doesn't happen?
Oh, it happens.
You think that shit doesn't happen? Come on,
Gruden does it on air. Like we're gonna talk about that in a second. Gruden's not afraid to tamper.
Go ahead.
But this is my point. Like, a million things have to happen to get Deshaun Watson to Las Vegas, right?
Two things have to happen. The Texans have to blink, and Deshaun Watson has to believe in Gruden. That's it. Everything else can be worked out.
And the Raiders got to come up with
everything not just, else can be worked out.
The Raiders have to come up with a better deal than other teams. Because look, you're acting like it's just getting Watson to Las Vegas. You got to come up with a better deal and a better situation than other teams. Like, if the Dolphins and the Raiders offered Deshaun Watson the same thing, offered the Texans the same thing, Watson's choosing Miami.
What I'm saying is the only opinion that counts. The only opinion that counts is Deshaun Watson's. And that's why I said the second thing is
where would he rather go? Miami or Las Vegas?
Dude, if Gruden sells him on the package, on the deal, on, hey, you're going to be involved in decisions. We're going to help you with a lot of the back end free agency stuff. You're going to help us with a lot of this stuff going forward. We're going to groom you to be one of these guys that can be in the office. And you're not just, because you're going to be a Raider for life now. When you're a Raider for life. So we're going to have you, we're going to want you to be in this organization moving forward. Look at all these players that play a pivotal role in our team, in our front office and all this stuff moving forward. If you sell him on a package like that, and it's not bullshit, it's the truth. The Raiders do that. There's no other team that I can see that is more loyal to their ex players than the Raiders. And I'm telling you something right now, they get rid of Carr for whatever reason, he leaves or they trade him or whatever. Once he retires, he's going to be welcomed back with open arms. You were a Raider. You played, you won games here. What do you need? What can we do for you? How can we be in the car business? And that's proven. That's not bullshit. So that's what I'm saying is the first thing that needs to happen is the Texans know they got to trade Watson. Okay, we have to trade him so we're going to find the best place. Number one, that he wants to go to, and what can we get for him? And then the second thing is, how do we separate ourselves from the other teams to be able to have us be the destination Watson wants?
And after Gruden gives that speech, Brian Flores, head coach of the Dolphins, comes by and says, yeah, we were 10-6 last year with two half quarterbacks. Imagine what we'd be with you. We're younger. We're better on the salary cap. We have more young draft picks. We hit our draft picks. Come to Miami. And he's going to say, oh, great speech, John, but I'm going to go play in the sun in South Beach.
I don't know if that's the way it's going to work. I don't know if he's going to say, well, I only want to go to one team. I really do think it's going to be like, okay, these are the couple teams that I can go to. I really do. I don't think that's the way it works, honestly. But I mean, what the fuck do I know?
Well, they're going to field the offers, right? Houston's going to field the offers, and there's going to be some behind the scenes tampering, like you're talking about. And if Deshaun Watson goes, you know, lets it known, you know, 2, 3, 4 teams where he wants to go. I mean, imagine what he would do in San Francisco with the 49ers, like. He would destroy the NFC. Yeah, it would be Niners and Chiefs every single year if he went to the Niners. Like, that's got to be tempting. If he goes to the Dolphins with a young team, a young team that's like really developing and overachieving, and then you get Deshaun Watson, like, this is the start of a dynasty, right? You go
I'm not sold on the Dolphins, man. It's just they're playing way off their ass this year, and
With two half quarterbacks, like with Tua and Fitz. Like, imagine what they do with Deshaun Watson.
What else they have on their team? I think it was a lot of smoke and mirrors, man. They played well defensively. They were good, good turnover ratio, and they scored points when they needed to. And it was mostly the defense. And these defensive guys were guys that they just got off the scrap heap from other teams that weren't anything special.
They drastically overachieved while the Raiders drastically underachieved. And true. So if I'm Deshaun Watson, where am I going to go? Like, the guys that play better than they are, the guys that are young, the guys that were 10-6 in the same division as the Bills.
You can also make the argument that we had issues coaching wise on our defense, but we have a lot of good pieces, strong pieces, and we're going to be that team. We're going to be the Dolphins of next year. We're going to be that worst to first. You know, defense. You can say that. You can say that, and all you got to do is be able to. That's why I said you just got to sell Watson on coming to the Raiders. Mm-hmm. If you can do those two things, if Watson can sell the Texans that he's not coming back, and the Raiders can sell Watson that the Raiders are a viable option, cool. We can make it happen.
I mean, John Gruden can sell, but He'd have to be able to sell a ketchup popsicle to a woman in white gloves.
It's
to be able to be able to talk his way over with the Dolphins and Niners can like tangibly show Deshaun.
It's a big if, man. It's a big if. And like I said before, if the queen had a dick, she'd be the king, right? Yeah. But it's a big if. But you're telling me, how can we make this happen? Well, those are the first two steps of how to make it happen. Everything else they can make work. Because I'll trust you right now. From the looks of it, they don't really covet first round picks. Okay, well, what the fucking picks that they're making? All right, so who gives a shit about them if you can get this, you know, generational player at quarterback?
I mean, the first step and the last step are the ones that I just don't buy. I first don't think the Texans are going to be able to trade him, and I don't think Deshaun Watson, when he gets not the pick of the litter, but he'll be able to pick where he goes, and he's going to choose the Raiders and their like long history of dysfunction. I just don't. Well, speaking of tampering, did you see John Gruden and Richard Sherman on Chris Collinsworth's podcast?
Let's see it. Let's hear it.
So I couldn't pull the audio, but basically Collinsworth is on there. Richard Sherman is the co-host, and they got John Gruden on, and Collinsworth opens it up. He's like, so I know that there's tampering rules. I don't want to get you guys in trouble, but hey, Richard Sherman, his contract's up. Now he's not technically a free agent yet. He has to wait till March when his contract's up. But even Richard Sherman said, like, yeah, I'm free. I'm looking for a place to go. It's not technically true, but kind of is. And so John Gruden said, Richard Sherman, if you are a free agent, which is there's a rumor you are, we are looking for an alpha presence in our secondary. Someone that could play this Hawk 3 press technique with the read step. If you're available and interested, maybe you and I can get together at some point off air. Before we get to the tampering part, and this is generally been the God, case with
what
John Gruden.
A fucking pro.
What a great line.
God.
What a great line. He knew exactly what he could say. We're looking for an alpha presence in the secondary. If you are available. Ooh. But think about that. Like, we're looking for an alpha presence. Like, you know, Richard Sherman, a little long in the tooth, a little slower, not the same guy that he was with the Legion of Boom. But he's not asking for that. He's not saying he wants a prime guy who's 23. He's not saying he wants a guy that runs a 4.340. He wants, and he appealed right to his ego, an alpha presence. Which professional athlete, what man in the world doesn't want to be told he is an alpha presence?
Does this remind you a little bit of Charles Woodson coming back to the Raiders the second time around? And being that presence, being that guy that makes sure everyone knows what they're going to do. Because he did. He knew. That was one of the things I heard Justin Tuck earlier today. I was listening to him about him, about Woodson being the guy that made sure everyone took care of their bodies, Arnett, right? Made sure everyone was eating right. Make sure everyone was working out properly. Make sure everyone was working out mentally. Making sure they knew everyone knew because God damn it, Woodson knew where everyone needed to be and what everyone on the defense needed to do. You're not telling me that Sherman couldn't be that guy?
Yeah.
That's what they need, right? That's what we talked about. That's the guy Joyner couldn't be.
Yeah.
And I hate picking on Joyner, but I don't know you personally. I'm not talking to talk shit. You just weren't that guy for us. Sorry. For whatever reason, maybe Gunther's fucking shit down your neck and he ruined it for you, whatever. But you just weren't that guy. Sherman could be that guy. He's smart. He's fucking went to Stanford. He knows what the fuck he's doing. He's another guy that, I mean, talk about
he's
another
got
presence.
A big ego, which got a big Gruden, ego. Gruden appealed right to.
Yep.
We need an alpha presence. But you're right though. You're absolutely right. We don't, what we really need is a prime veteran free safety. Like that's what we really need.
Richard Sherman, still get that.
I don't think they'll move him to safety. I think he'll stay at corner, but he could still be that guy where
he can't float back every once in a while and play that role.
I mean, you can mix stuff up. I just think he's just lost too much of a step to be that free
elite
safety.
I get it.
Yeah.
But you could still get Sherman and get a free safety.
That would be great. I mean, Sherman's going to ask a lot cause he's got that brand, you know, he's the Richard Sherman brand. So I think he's not going to be cheap.
But he'll be short. We're not going to give him a long contract. I don't think he's looking for one.
Yeah.
I don't mind overpaying 1 year, 2 years. What did I say a couple podcasts ago? Throw a flyer on a proven guy, couple years. He's not going to be that guy that's going to make every single play for you, but he's not going to make those big mistakes because he doesn't. Mm-hmm. And he's going to make sure everyone else on the defense knows what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah. Well, what we need, like, What we need is for him to make Damon Arnett and Jonathan Abram better.
And he will.
Because that's the, like I've been saying on this podcast forever, like we're not going to just like clean sweep this defense as bad as they are. We're not going to just get rid of first round picks yet.
One of the things you need on the team, when we talked about this, who is that Rodney Hudson on the defense? Mm-hmm. Who is that guy that no matter what he says, everyone just shuts the fuck up and listens? That could be Richard Sherman because he's won in the league. He's been an elite player in the league. Gus Bradley loves him.
Gus Bradley played under Gus Bradley for two seasons.
Gus Bradley drafted the kid in the fifth round. This is the guy that I want. Get this guy. Mm-hmm. He was a Gus Bradley guy. This is the type of signing that can make a huge difference on a defense. It can make this could propel the Raiders from a high 20s, 30s defense into the mid-teens right away. Because no one on the team is going to be confused. Because goddamn it, Sherman's going to make sure that you know what the fuck you're doing. Number one, no one on the team is going to be eating McDonald's and fucking Jack in the Box every fucking day. Okay. Because Sherman's going to make sure that you're feeding your body right and that you're training properly. Because he has that clout. He can walk up to you and he can talk to you like a five-year-old in front of everybody and you can't say shit because he's got the rings and he knows what the fuck he's talking about.
He's going to make sure you eat at In-N-Out because he's a true Californian. Speaking of the defense, Rich Gannon spoke to CBS, and pretty much anytime he talks, I like to listen because he's Rich Gannon.
He's a good listen.
And he was asked about, what happened with the Raiders, this season specifically and moving forward and what can be done. And he talked about, the offense was great. And, I think Carr's the man and Darren Waller's good. But of course he brought up the obvious, the defense.
Is the play of the defense. John Gruden made a change. He fired off a defense coordinator, Paul Gunther, at the end of the season. He brought in Gus Bradley, who was the coordinator for the Chargers. They have history together from a time in Tampa Bay. Gus, a former head coach, obviously, with Jacksonville. I think he'll do a good job on that side of the ball. But they've got some young players on defense that need to grow up in a hurry. They have not played well on that side of the ball. A lot of former first-round picks over there that I just don't think have played up to their potential. And I think that's where you'll see the Raiders spend a lot of their resources, whether it's free agency, the draft. They've got to get better on defense. You can't keep giving up 35 points each week in this league and expect to be competitive.
So, I mean, nothing too groundbreaking there. Commit resources to the defense, no brainer. But I do like how we kind of echo what we've been saying with the young guys. They need to grow up quick. They need to grow up quick because we're not going to get rid of them anytime soon. Mm-hmm. They've got their spots, right? Like Clay Ferrell's going to be a starter. Damon Arnett's going to be a starter. Jonathan Abram's going to be a starter.
Trayvon Mullen's going to be a starter.
Like, got to grow up. Got to grow up quick. And I think, hopefully with a simpler defense under Gus Bradley,
you need a guy like Sherman. You need a guy like Sherman on your team. You need that. Who's that coach on the field for defense? Who is that guy? Who is that guy that knows where everyone needs to be, what everyone's doing, making sure that everyone knows what they need to do and to keep everyone, hold them accountable. Who is that going to be that guy? Mm-hmm. That guy could be Sherman. He can be that guy. Does he have to be the same Richard Sherman that he was years ago? No, he doesn't. Because he's smart. But Charles Woodson wasn't either. He wasn't the same guy he was with the Raiders. Even the guy the Raiders let go years before. He came in playing a different position. Again, knew what the fuck he was doing, still was able to make plays, even though he was a shell of himself physically than what he was earlier in his career.
I didn't wake up this morning thinking I desperately wanted Richard Sherman to wear the silver and black, but now I do. Now he's there. I used to think
it makes sense, right?
It makes sense. Like he knows Gus Bradley's system. We need a veteran presence back there to help develop the young guys.
We need a vocal veteran presence on the deep. We don't need... Yeah. Like the offense is already good. And Rodney Hudson, from what we've heard, is not the most vocal person, right?
Yeah. He speaks softly and carries a big stick.
Yeah. And the swinging between his legs.
Yep.
But Sherman is going to talk. Sherman is going to get in your face. He's going to put his arm around you also. He's going to teach. He's going to help. He knows Bradley's system. This would be a great signing for the Raiders for 1-2 years, probably, I would say, a 2 year. Do a 2 year signing and have him groom that guy behind him. Who's going to be that guy coming up from behind? That's what Woodson did for Mac. Mm-hmm. He was able to do that for him. He was able to show, hey, this is what leadership looks like. It doesn't have to be like me, but this is what it looks like. This is what you need to be leadership moving forward. This is how it, who's gonna take the baton from me when I'm gone, right? Because Sherman's not gonna fucking have any delusions that he's gonna play fucking 5-10 more years. No, he's gonna play a couple more years, and he still wants to play, and he's still competitive. He still has that alpha mentality, which is what we need. A guy that, yeah, but you need that guy coming in who was, he's made plays. You know, AJ Hawk said, hey, a guy that's made plays in the league, he holds more weight in the locker room, right? And that this is what Richard Sherman brings. He brings the championship pedigree. He brings the familiarity with the defense. He knows.
He brings alpha presence. I'm going to try to bring more alpha presence into my life in general. You know, that's just good life advice.
Could he be an alpha player?
We better hope so. Ooh. Alpha presence, alpha player. That's one of my new favorite John Grudenisms.
Alpha presence.
Does he bring it? Does he? Yeah, he runs a 4.3 40. He's aggressive. He's a monster in the weight room. Yeah, but does he bring an alpha presence? No, then I'm not interested. I need alpha presences. No beta presences. No omega presences. Alpha presences only.
Your main guys on offense, you got fucking Rodney Hudson. He's bringing the hammer. He's bringing the alpha presence, right?
Yep.
You got Darren Waller. He's joking, smiling, laughing, you know, hey, how's it going, everybody? Smoked you.
Yep.
Caught fucking 110 passes in your ass. Okay, great.
Isn't that what's so weird, that the stars of the Raiders, like the best players on offense, are all dudes that never talk?
Rodney Hudson. They never say shit.
Darren Waller. Like, even like the good, like lovable guy, like Hunter Renfro.
Here's the best thing, though. The best thing about Hudson and Waller is they don't need to say anything.
Yeah.
Because you look at them and you're like,
man of action.
They are by far so much better than 95% of the league at their position. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous how good they are at their position. And it's not a secret. So they don't have to say anything. They're one of those guys. They're alpha, but in a different way.
Who's going to talk more in team meetings, John Gruden or Richard Sherman? That's going to be tough. No one else is going to get a word in edgewise. It's going to be those two guys. Dude, I think they'll just
bounce off of each other. I think they'll be great.
Just feed each other like two siblings.
Dude, the best part, I'm telling you right now, I think if Gruden, because this is where I think you're underestimating Gruden here. If he's able to plant this seed, openly plant this seed of tampering, just come on. He said what he was supposed to say.
Oh, no, right? I've never underbelieved John Gruden as a salesman.
Okay,
I've never thought that was an issue with him.
He knows how to massage you. He knows how to massage you.
Stroke that ego.
He knows how to stroke that ego. He knows how to pump you up. He knows he's got to get those balls full. He knows what he's doing, and he's gonna freaking give. He's gonna give Kevin Hart on one of his interviews I heard of him on the Joe Rogan podcast. He's like, yeah, one of my teachers, to keep me quiet during class, would say, yeah, I'll give you 10 minutes at the end of class to tell your jokes. If you just be quiet until the end of class. I could see him doing that with Sherman. Like, hey, man, I'm going to give you this time in the meetings. Just let me get across what I need to get across, then I'll give you the floor.
I think Gruden's a smooth talker, man. I mean,
oh, man, I'm telling you.
I could just imagine like the beer sluts he ran through in Ohio back in college. You know what I'm saying?
10 years, 100 mil out of fucking Mark Davis's ass.
After not being a coach in forever, like one of the richest contracts ever.
Listen,
baby. Just he's got Mark Davis in the palm of his hand.
Just make it easy, bro. Let's just not get crazy here, okay? Let's do just 10 and 10. 10 for 10.
Yeah,
what do you think? Just real nice round numbers. Those zeros are nice and round.
I know how much you want to bring an alpha presence into the coaching room, and that's what I could do here as John fucking Gruden. Super Bowl Sunday. You place any bets? You got any major takeaways? Or are we just
I got a couple squares here and there. That's about it.
I'm hoping Patrick Mahomes and
the two teams I didn't want to win are in the Super Bowl.
Right.
So fucking Tommy Tuck Rule and Kermit the fucking Frog.
Can we just hope that they both get injured? Is that fair enough?
See, I stopped short of that.
What were the Bucks last season? 7-9?
They were 7-9 with a 30 interception. Nice. Wow, dude, you fucking put Tom Brady instead of fucking Jameis Winston, dude. Like,
yes.
That's what I'm saying is you can have that turnaround, Watson and Carr. You can have that type of turnaround. Maybe 10 wins
instead of
8 wins? 10 wins instead of 8 wins?
Because the problem with the Bucks last season was quarterback play. That was the problem. And so they eliminated that problem and brought in a better guy. But look, the problem with the Raiders is defense.
Better quarterback play. Okay.
Complete 180 in quarterback
play. And a better defense. Whoa. Dude, he still threw 30 fucking touchdowns. It wasn't like he didn't throw touchdowns. He was still throwing touchdowns, just threw a lot of interceptions.
Yeah, but half of those touchdowns were for the other team in a pick six.
Yeah, he got 30 and 30. He watched himself out.
He threw 60 touchdowns in a season. He's breaking all the touchdown records. All right, that's about it for us. Special show tomorrow because Al Davis is 30 for 30. He hits the airwaves Thursday night on ESPN. I believe it's 6 o'clock Pacific Coast time. So we're going to be doing a very special Autumn Windbags immediately afterwards. It'll be available on YouTube, so make sure you check that out. Looking forward to it. Until tomorrow, knock on wood if you're with me. All right, thank you so much for listening to the Autumn Windbags. We really appreciate it. Again, make sure that you like, comment, and subscribe to everything Autumn Windbags because, you know, we'll love you for it. All right, till next time. Later.